Good morning.
Good morning.
Blessings to you on this great day of Pentecost. A man went up to Elder Porphyrios, one of the 20th century saints of Greece. And this man went up to Porphyrios and said, Yeronda, I want your blessing so that I can take communion tomorrow. Do you hate anyone? Porphyrios asked him. No, Yeronda. Good. Go and receive communion. Wow. What kind of a liberal answer is that, right? No. Go and fast, and no, go to confession, read the prayers or anything like that, you know. Do you hate anybody? No. Go. You're okay. Go and receive communion. Many, many centuries earlier, more like 1,300 years earlier, someone asked Abba Philemon why he lived such a strict, disciplined life. And his answer was beautiful. He could have said, I'm obeying the rules that monks should live by. No. He said, believe me, my son, God has placed such eagerness and passion in my soul that I lack the strength to satisfy the longing within me, yet longing for God and hope of the blessing held in store triumph over bodily weaknesses. He lived the way he lived, not in obedience to rules or commandments, but from longing and passion for God. Dosaftin prothimian ke pothon. Words of passion, longing, love, eagerness. Nothing legalistic. Similarly, in the same second volume of Philokalia, Saint Thalassios said, an all-embracing and intense longing for God binds those who experience it both to God and to one another. This intense longing for God not only unites us with God, but with each other. That should characterize the church. That's what we should be as the body of Christ, as the people of Christ. Because really only one thing is needful. Just like Jesus had said to the busybody, the ever busy Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha. You are worried about so many things. Only one thing is needful. What your sister Mary is doing. To be passionate for God. Be passionate for the Word of God. For hearing the Word of God. Passion for God is a fire. And if you heard the reading from Acts today, you heard that fire is the symbol, is the visible symbol of the Holy Spirit descending upon the apostles on that first Pentecost. Fire. The Holy Spirit revealing God's passion for us and inviting our passion for God. At his ascension, Jesus promised to be with us to the end of the ages. And he sent the Holy Spirit 10 days later, today, Pentecost. And he sent the Holy Spirit as the comforter, the other comforter, the Parakletos, as I spoke about last Sunday, the other comforter. And that Holy Spirit, after coming down on the apostles on Pentecost, enabled the apostles to give us the written words that point to the Word. The written words that we have in the Bible, in the New Testament, that point to the Word, who is Jesus, the incarnate Logos of God. And he gave us also the Eucharist. his body and blood to sustain us. What else do you need? What else do you need? Do you see how it all goes together? He gives us the Holy Spirit, who gives us the words that point to the Word, and he gives us his body and blood to nourish us, both body and spirit, until he comes again. And that's what the church should be. The place of the Spirit, the place of the Word, and the place of the Eucharist. You don't need anything else. You don't need a fancy building. You don't need a great presence on the internet that tens of thousands of people watch. We only get about 30 or 40 people watching our live stream. I'm fine with that. That's okay. We're not into big. We are not into fancy. We're simple, the way Jesus wants us to be. And we find truth and sustenance in that ancient faith that has been handed down to us. Thinking men and women find ways to escape the dictatorship of relativism. The dictatorship of relativism. As Pope Benedict XVI very profoundly and very wisely called it. I love Benedict XVI, by the way. It's my favorite of all the popes. He was a true man of the truth, which is why he wasn't too popular. Not Francis that followed him, Benedict. The dictatorship of relativism. When everything becomes relative, nothing is absolute, nothing is really true, then you have a dictatorship. And you see that dictatorship all around us. And those people who scream about dictators, they are the real dictators. The ancient faith is not so ancient after all. It fortifies us to live each day fully and meaningfully. God is the Lord and has revealed himself to us. Blessed is everyone who comes in the name of the Lord. You are blessed. You are blessed for coming here in the name of the Lord, if you come here in the name of the Lord. Come in the name of the Lord and share in the fellowship of the saints. Near the end of his life in 1991, Elder Porphyrios sent a letter to all his spiritual children. And just before the end of the letter, he wrote, "And I always pray for my spiritual children to love God, that he may grant us to enter into his earthly, uncreated church. Because we need to start from here." Indeed, dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to start from here. Not from numbers, not from sociological or cultural analysis, but from the prayer that God will grant us to enter into his earthly, uncreated church. I read those words several years ago, and they've always remained in my mind. I looked them up again for this sermon. I read those words the first time, and I was startled. After all, he's writing to his spiritual children, who one can assume are members of the church. And yet he's praying for them, praying that they will enter the earthly uncreated church. They may be members of a church, of a parish, but are they members of the uncreated church? We create churches, we build churches, We fancy them up. We dress them up. We put domes on them and steeples, or put back steeples. We do, you know, iconography and all sorts of good things. We create churches. Why not the uncreated church? Because there's more to the church than what we create. Our dreams stop at what we create and what we sustain, and our dreams do not go beyond that. But that's not the church. The church is the body of Christ. It is the mystery, and I'm here paraphrasing Colossians chapter 1. The church is the mystery, which has been hidden from all eternity, but now is revealed in the saints. It is the mystery of Christ in you, the mystery of glory. That's the church. That's the uncreated church. That's the church that Saint Porphyrios prayed that his spiritual children will enter. And this is what came down on the day of Pentecost. Not what we usually reduce the church to, just another institution with fun drives and bosses. We know the created church. Saint Porphyrios wants us to know the uncreated church. And not just in heaven either, where it is uncreated, but here on earth. So that's why he called it the earthly uncreated church. Right here in this earth, in this life, we can be in the uncreated church. The uncreated church where God, where Christ dwell, and are present, and the Holy Spirit inspires everything. Most people in churches don't talk like this, but that's because we expect so little from ourselves, from each other, and from the church, and from God. Back in 1952, a year before I was born, an English man by the name of J.B. Phillips wrote a book that became a bestseller, Your God is Too Small. That might be, if it's available on Amazon, it's probably print on demand, so, you know, maybe buy a copy. Of course, he wrote it not from an Orthodox perspective, or not from a, maybe not something that we can relate to, but that's the title of the book, Your God is Too Small. And I have always felt so often our God is too small. We belittle God. And we belittle ourselves, and we belittle the church. And that is why men and women like Porphyrios stand out and are called saints. Because God is a dreamer. And I personally care more about what God dreams than what I dream or what the church dreams, my church dreams. Saint Porphyrios eventually, of course, was pronounced a saint by the Greek church. And he's usually called Porphyrios o Kavsokalevitis. He asserted that to become a Christian, a person must have a poetic soul. He must become a poet. Christ does not want insensitive souls to follow him. A Christian is a poet, and lives amid poetry. The words of Saint Porphyrios. One of our catechumens, Anthony, who is here today, yesterday shared in our chat group Chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 3, not chapter 2, Anthony. Chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, which begins like this. There you are. Which begins like this. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. The word of the Lord in those days was rare. Couldn't find it. Even more true today. Oh, we have words. We have words. Anyway, when you go in the water and you, whatever. See, I say it in Greek, but I can't say it in English. we have so many words. We are words of men, words of machines, words of AI, but not the word of the Lord. In our days, the word of the Lord is rare, very rare. There are not many visions either. How did the venerable King James Version of the Bible put it in Proverbs chapter 29? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We might have our buildings, but the people perish. Modern translations put it a little bit differently. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, or without revelation. I like this one. Or without revelation, people run wild. Yeah. People run wild in churches too. People run wild in their opinions, in their words. But the word of the Lord is rare, and there are no visions. Because we need vision. Vision from God, not from our own imaginations. When people run wild is a pretty good description of what many churches are doing today. And people perish. People perish, especially young people. Joel, the prophet Joel, prophesied about Pentecost like this. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. We need young men to see visions. We need sons and daughters who will prophesy, who will be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak the truth in front of people who are running wild, who are perishing. We need the word of the Lord in our midst. Where there is no vision, only words remain, human words. And when human words are all that there is, the people perish. Let's not perish. Let's, those of us who are here today, let's commit ourselves not to perish. Let us commit ourselves to hear the word of the Lord. One professor who was visiting another saint, Saint Paisios, this well-educated professor was amazed at the words that Saint Paisios, well, he wasn't a saint then, he was Elder Paisios, that Elder Paisios was speaking. He was amazed. And he said to him, Yeronda, which book has all these things that you speak to us? Pentecosti was the one word answer of Paisios. Pentecost. Pentecost. That was his book. Another man another time asked the same question of Paisios. And the elder answered, Tiberiados Thalassa, the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias is another name for the Sea of Galilee, where the fishermen that Jesus called to be apostles did their fishing. So what did Paisios mean by saying Tiberiados thalassa? He meant, I'm one of those fishermen. I'm one of those fishermen who were made theologians by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that made those fishermen, theologians and preachers, who turned the world upside down. And that is Pentecost, dear friends. That will be Pentecost when we turn the world upside down. It's been a very, very, very long time since the last time we did that. 2,000 years ago. It's time for the church to wake up and stop building buildings and start building lives that will turn the world upside down in a good way, in a way that pleases God, in a way that will be rewarded by membership in the uncreated church. Amen.